Now, Straight Talk, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon. It's Dave Dixon in for Adam Sterling today and throughout the week, and actually the following week as well here on CFAX 1070. Thanks to Terry Moore and Liz MacArthur for filling in for me last week while I was on holidays. I lost my voice yesterday, but I'm feeling a lot better this afternoon. Looking forward to getting into it today. And we've got a great show lined up. We're going to be focusing on the G8 and G20 summits coming up this weekend in Ontario. We're going to be joined with the chief economist with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce, looking at some of the recommendations her group has made for G20 leaders and what to look for that week. Also, Dr. Michael Kempa, a criminologist with the University of Ottawa, looking at the another side of the G20 summit. The protesters, I guess, activists are getting ready, getting the ranks prepared for the upcoming delegates coming to Huntsville and Toronto. We're going to be talking to him on what to expect, policing tactics as well. Also coming up, Randall Garrison, Esquimalt councillor, looking at sewage issues in Esquimalt. Of course, there was a meeting last night that got quite heated at Esquimalt Town Hall in regards to sewage. We're going to get his take on that a little bit later on in the program. Also, Mark Holland, Liberal MP, and the public safety critic, looking at Bill C-25. Huge announcement coming out today from the Parliamentary Budget Officer, looking at the costs of Bill C-25 to Canadians. We're going to get the latest with Mark Holland a little bit later on in the program. But our first guest today, she's a health geographer from Simon Fraser University, and we're going to be talking about an upcoming international conference on ethical issues in medical tourism. We're joined on the line from SFU with Dr. Valerie Crooks. Valerie, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, I had you on a few months ago on my program looking at this issue, and now the conference is upon us. For people that are maybe uninitiated, what is medical tourism?
Definitions floating out there, there's varying components, but really to put it most succinctly, when we're talking about medical tourism, we're thinking about patients leaving their home countries or their country of residence in order to access non-emergency kinds of medical intervention, so things such as surgeries in other countries. And really core to this definition or core to this issue is intent. Patients have to be intentionally going abroad. And what I mean by that is, I think I just heard you say you're on holiday last week. If you're on holiday in another country and you happen to get injured and you had to go to the hospital, you're not a medical tourist. You're a holidayer who got injured and needed medical care.
Yes.
So here we're talking about people, including Canadians, who are choosing to pay out of pocket with their own money to go to countries such as Costa Rica, India, Thailand, Singapore, the Dominican Republic, and a whole host of other countries that are actively trying to promote this industry and trying to bring international patients to their countries to offer them health services.
How big of an industry is this globally?
Well, that's a really interesting question and one that gets asked of me quite often. It's very hard to actually assess the full scope of the industry, and that's because, first off, because it is a business, sometimes different providers of medical tourism services are reluctant to share concrete patient numbers. Another thing that muddies our ability to track it is, say, when we're thinking about the Canadian context, we have very good records of who's accessing Medicare services and the cost of those services through our Medicare system. We don't track who's actually leaving Medicare and going abroad for health care. But that aside, I can tell you that this is a multi-billion dollar industry globally, and it's one that we have presence of right here in Canada, both in terms of Canadians going abroad and also different businesses that are involved in the industry that are based here.
So Canadians, are we some of the top medical tourists, so to speak? Are we heading elsewhere to get procedures done, I should say?
That's right. Canadians are definitely going abroad to get procedures done. And some of the ones that I think we hear about most often are those that typically are a little more controversial or scandalous, if you want to say that, in nature. So things such as reproductive tourism, so issues of surrogacy and other aspects along the lines of reproductive care, and also transplant tourism. So when patients are going abroad purchasing human organs or going abroad with another donor and having that performed performed in another country. But Canadians are also going abroad for fairly mundane or routine procedures. So in large numbers for orthopedic procedures, also eye surgeries, dental surgeries is another very common one.
Why would we go elsewhere for dental? Does it cost that much here, I guess, compared to other nations?
Well, you know, dental care is one of those things that many of us have to pay out of our pocket for,
yes,
as opposed to other healthcare procedures. So it's one of those few things that we actually have a sense as to the actual cost that it's having, as opposed to when we have a surgery in the hospital and we're never given a bill for it. And so with dental tourism, as an example, what we're finding is that some people can pay to get dental care done in Mexico, and that cost will include a holiday for the same price as it might happen domestically here. And so sometimes people are drawn abroad because of that, because they can actually combine the leisure aspect of a holiday with the necessary procedure that they need to undertake.
Well, no one likes going to the dentist, so that actually sounds like a pretty good idea.
Well,
it's going somewhere and might as well enjoy yourself.
This is exactly it. Some people are doing that. And, you know, I know we've had the opportunity to chat amongst our research team with people who, you know, they know many people who are doing that. And word of mouth is one of the ways that this gets spread. And, you know, the holiday aspect aside, another reason why Canadians are going abroad is sometimes to access procedures that are not available here because they're illegal or because they're not tested and tried here. So people who want to really get at that cutting edge treatment go abroad where the legal restrictions or other restrictions aren't being encountered.
What are some of the concerns that that you found that people should be taking into consideration? There must be many with this industry.
That's right. There are certainly a lot of concerns. One of which is just, you know, if we think about the very basic nature of how our healthcare system works here, we don't have, at least in theory, a second tier of care, although many argue that there are many instances of certain kinds of procedures or certain kinds of services that are reflective of that. We're not paying out of our pocket for basic medical care and then thereby negotiating what we will or won't pay for. There's a concern that when Canadians are going abroad, that they're actually substituting more clinical decision-making with financial decision-making. So as an example, the research group that I work with, we were in India earlier this year, and we had the chance to speak with an American who was in a hospital who had just had two hip resurfacing surgeries. And he shortened the amount of recovery time between his first and second surgery because he wanted to lessen the cost of being abroad. Now, the question is, are there clinical implications of shortening that decision-making time, that recovery time? And then there's lots of other things. So, you know, traveling while either in the recovery period or potentially before that can be very risky for certain kinds of patients. You can imagine if you've just had an orthopedic procedure, let's say a hip resurfacing like I just mentioned, this gentleman was then going to have to fly from India with two newly resurfaced hips all the way back to the United States. And that's a pretty long flight. Having, you know, done it not that long ago. And, you know, there's a lot of implications that can stem from that. Those are just a few of the examples. And then, of course, you have to be concerned with the quality of the procedures that are being available. And then, you know, things that we talk less about but are things that we should be really concerned about are what are the social implications of medical tourism. And by that I mean, are destination countries, are they shifting their resources away from care being provided to their own citizens to care being provided for international patients?
That was going to be my next question, is because what's not, when you look at different agencies throughout the world, some of these more developing nations, they're obviously struggling with financially and socially and whatnot, probably more than we are. Mm-hmm. And if they can find a way to make some more money, get some more money generated for their healthcare system, you'd think they would open up their doors gladly.
Mm-hmm.
To. And I'm assuming most of the people are well financed. So they have deep pockets that are going to be seeking these treatments.
Right. Well, it's a very complex issue. And this week we're actually hosting at Simon Fraser University's downtown Vancouver campus a conference called the International Conference on Ethical Issues in Medical Tourism. And at this conference, we're going to be talking about some of these really complex issues. So, you know, just taking what you said, in one side of the coin, we can say, okay, we might be lessening access to care for residents of developing nations by having a medical tourism industry operate in these countries. On the other side of the coin, we hear people saying, well, you know, some of the hospitals in these countries are better able to retain their physicians because they're offering them higher salaries and more technologically sophisticated working environments. So this is lessening, in some instances, what's often referred to as that brain drain or the migration of healthcare providers, especially from the developing world to developed nations. That's just one of the arguments that's being put out there that says, you know, we can't always have a totally negative view on the industry of medical tourism and the impacts it's having in developing nations, just as one example.
Dr. Valerie Crooks is our guest. She's a health geographer at Simon Fraser University. We're talking about ethics in medical tourism. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Hey, check it out. Tim Hortons has a new breakfast sandwich, a bagel belt on a cheese bagel.
So bacon, egg, lettuce, and tomato all on a cheese bagel?
Yeah, it's like Belt 2.0.
Meh.
What?
I don't know. How about Bagel Belt the sequel?
The sequel.
There's a new bagel belt in town, and it's better than ever. Introducing Bagel Belt on a cheese bagel.
Is that the lowest your voice goes?
The belt just got better. Tim Hortons Bagel Belt, now on our new cheese bagel with real cheddar cheese baked on top. Still just $3.39. Always a great value.
Always Tim Hortons.
At participating stores, prices may vary by region.
Here's to more color, just in time for summer. Right now, our Home Depot garden centers have a huge selection of fresh, beautiful flowers and gardening accessories. And this week, for 4 days only, from Thursday through Sunday, you can get 25% off all annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, planters, and pots. That's right, 25% off. More color for less. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. In Canada only, some conditions apply. Details in store.
When traffic is heavy, there's nothing like being on a bike. I mean, look at those snails trying to maneuver around each other. Feels good flying down this road, getting my exercise. Nothing but heavy traffic behind me and a parked car in front of me. Oh, parked car!
When you need emergency glass repair, First Response Glass has what it takes to get the job done.
I'm okay.
Hassle-free. First Response Glass fixes it.
The sun's ultraviolet light can cause many unforeseen problems. Now you can frolic in the sun while protecting yourself from the inside out with Ultimate Antioxidant and many other sun protective products from Natural Factors. Find the Ultimate Antioxidant and much more at The Vitamin Shop, where the knowledgeable staff are happy to assist you. The Vitamin Shop, 1212 Broad Street between Yates and the Bay Center. Visit CanadianVitaminShop.com or phone 386-1212 and ask about their free delivery service. The Vitamin Shop, 386-1212.
Talk from a different perspective. Dave Dixon on CFAX 1070.
Continuing our discussion with Dr. Valerie Crooks, a health geographer from Simon Fraser University, talking about the upcoming International Conference on Ethical Issues in Medical Tourism taking place in Vancouver this week. Now, something that we haven't looked at yet, Valerie, is the flip side of this. We're talking mostly about Canadians traveling elsewhere in the United States and even developing nations to access different types of medical treatments. What about the other side here in Canada? I know a few months ago our health minister, Minister Kevin Falcon, was talking about encouraging and attracting medical tourists from elsewhere to come to British Columbia. Is that something that you've looked at?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really interesting point to bring up because, of course, it really shows the timeliness of starting to engage in a conversation about medical tourism, what the industry is, and the implications and impacts it holds here in Canada. There's very little discussion about what the possibilities or prospects are for Canada as becoming a destination for international patients. Of course, most of the discussion in that regard really focuses on places such as British Columbia becoming a host of U.S. or American patients, and the desire for various centers across Canada to actually do this. This has been an ongoing conversation amongst various hospitals and healthcare providers well over the past decade, trying to think about how they might be able to attract, in particular, American patients up north here,
yes,
and to have them pay to use our services. And there's a number of issues in relation to that in terms of developing the medical tourism industry here in Canada. Of course, one of them just comes from the nature of our Medicare system and how it is that care is actually how care is provided here and the way in which it operates. So just as one example, many people that are getting education as medical doctors, their tuitions or the cost of their education is subsidized typically by the government. And so then the question is, well, if they then are providing privatized services for international patients, is that a reasonable use of the public resources of their education?
Well, I think the main thing for British Columbians is our system seems to be stretched already. Mm-hmm. What would be the benefit to us as taxpayers and as healthcare users by attracting medical tourists? If there's no benefit to us, then I don't see the point.
That's right. I mean, that's definitely a fairly logical.
So I couldn't care less what's happening in the United States. I'm more concerned what's happening here.
That's a pretty straightforward perspective. I think the other thing is for us to develop a medical tourism industry here, we would have to be almost immediately responsive to availability within our system. And what I mean by that is right now, there's a lot of system response happening to the aging population. So, we see a lot of focus on orthopedic procedures, a lot of focus on care that we know are needed for people as they're aging. Well, once we're sort of over the bubble of, people having worked their way through needing that kind of health care, and we have that service infrastructure in place, then if we were immediately responsive to them trying to market those services for international patients, then that's one way that kind of industry might thrive potentially within Canada. But, of course, another thing that comes up is that one of the things that's talked about the most as driving this medical tourism industry is the low cost of care or the affordability of patients traveling internationally. And a real question is, can Canada engage in the industry in that regard? Can we offer competitive pricing? And many would suggest we can't, although there are a handful of people who are saying we can. So, it really remains to be seen as to how the industry can be developed here. Of course, there are other aspects of the industry that are really flourishing here. So we have about 20 companies that operate here in Canada that actually serve as medical tourism brokers or facilitators. These are individuals who are almost like travel agents specializing in medical tourism.
We'll have to leave it there. Out of time, unfortunately, Valerie. The website is www.sfu.ca/medical-tourism. It's the International Conference on Ethical Issues in Medical Tourism taking place on Thursday, June the 24th and 25th. Thanks again, Valerie. I appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Valerie Crooks, a health geographer from Simon Fraser University. Time for a break on Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.